And we're going to recognize Councilor Markowitz to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please, Councilor Markowitz.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, colleagues. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Newton City Council. We are being both audio taped and videotaped this evening, and we're going to start off with our business on first call. I note that we have several colleagues who are absent right now. I know Councilor Ciccone, is he ill again? Is ill and is not going to be able to be with us this evening. But that may affect, when we get to the votes for land use matters, that may affect, whether we vote this evening or not. So let's just, we'll see when we get everyone in here if we have enough people. Okay. I know all of you know, but for members of the public, land use matters require a two-thirds vote of the full city council, and there are two councilors already who have recused themselves on marijuana-related items, which means we need 16 votes no matter what, and we're down two, so I'm just going to do a head count when the time comes. With that, I'm going to recognize the chair of the Land Use Committee, Councilor Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Land Use Committee report begins on page 240 of our docket book. The first four items are appointments to the, first three items are appointments to the Kessler Woods Liaison Committee. 198-18, appointment of Heinrich Weisskopf. 199-18, appointment of Barbara Surd. And 252-18, appointment of Marilyn Wallman. All three of these were voted no action necessary, 5-0, as the committee is no longer meeting.
If I could, Councilor Schwartz, I want to be clear for the record. It's not because these folks didn't do a great job, but it's because per the board order to the Kessler Woods Council, is essentially its term is over because it's completed its work, so we don't need to reappoint anybody else.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you for that clarification, Mr. President. So the next item, 358-18, is appointment of Karine Alexander of 107 Monadnock Road, Chestnut Hill, to the Boston College Neighborhood Council. That was approved 5-0. The following item was postponed. The next item, 422-18, a petition by United Properties Group. This is 422-18, United Properties Group petition for special permit site plan approval to amend special permit orders 162-88, 199-99-2, and 175-12 to change the existing non-conforming restaurant use to allow a non-conforming salon use in Ward 1, Newton at 148 California Street, 171 Watertown Street. This was approved 5-0. On page 241, the next two items were held. At the bottom of 241, item 478-18, Lisa and John Schwartzberg, petition request for an extension of time to exercise special permit number 361-16 at 642 Center Street in Ward 1. That was approved 8-0. The next item to report, I apologize, my fingers. Item 68-18, Yu Choi petition to allow a for-profit educational use of 227 Washington Street in Ward 1. That was a request for withdrawal without prejudice, and it passed 8-0. The next item, 424-18, Atrium Wellness Center, LLC, petition to amend Special Permit Council Order 114-17 by amending the comprehensive sign package to allow waivers to the number, size, location, and height of signs to the extent required in Ward 7 at 300 Boylston Street. This is the atrium in land that's zoned business use 1. That was passed 7-0 with one recused. The next item 288-18, a special permit petition by Cypress Tree Management Incorporated to allow a registered medical marijuana dispensary in a non-conforming structure, to waive minimum stall dimensions, to waive minimum aisle width for two-way traffic, to waive perimeter screening requirements, to waive interior landscaping requirements, to waive requirements for interior planting, to waive requirement for interior tree planting, to waive requirements for bumper overhang area landscaping, to waive requirements for one-foot candle lighting, and to allow the RMD to be located within 500 feet of a school at 2426 Elliott Street, Ward 5. This was approved by a vote of... I apologize, the vote's not in there.
I think it was 8-0.
7, because Rick wasn't there.
Oh, I'm sorry, 7, you're correct.
7-0, okay, thank you. One recused, thank you. And then the last two items were held. So that's the report. At this time, I'd like to assign two public hearings.
Go ahead, please, Councilor Schwartz.
So on page of our docket 245, two public hearings for November 8th, 2018. First one is permit 496-18, petition by Veterinary Emergency Group, Welford Corporation, Newton Technology Park, LLC, Cross Point Associates, for special permit site plan approval to amend special permit 1915 to locate a veterinary hospital in an existing Newton Nexus building at 131-181 Newton Street, Needham Street, in Ward 5 in a multi-use 1 district. And then the second public hearing to be assigned for November 8th is item 497-18, petitioned by Michael Moskowitz, 10 Pillion LLC, for special permit site plan approval to construct an attached dwelling unit to the existing single-family structure, to reduce lot area frontage and lot coverage requirements, to reduce front and side setback requirements, and to allow a driveway along the side lot line, which requires an amendment to a variance, at 10 Pillion Court in Ward 2 in land zoned multi-residence 1. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night. I'm sorry, on November 8th. We also have a full docket tomorrow night, so you're all welcome to join us.
Thank you, Councillor Schwartz. Yes, Councillor Gentile.
Could someone please clarify 288-18? It's a little bit confusing. Did land use approve the entire petition, or did they just approve an extension of time?
Councilor Schwartz, do you want to respond to that?
Yes, we approved the entire petition. Thank you for that clarification.
This is the medical marijuana. 288-18 is the medical marijuana facility on Elliott Street. It's just medical marijuana, and we did approve 288-18 in committee.
The reason for the confusion is that there's a note in our docket that just mentions that there has been an extension of time already approved for that to October 20th, which allows us to get through it if we need to.
Does that answer your question, Councilor Gentile?
Okay. So we're not under the gun like we were. It's on first call at this point in time.
But if we needed to, we would have time to vote on this at our next meeting if there was an issue. Okay, all set. Councilor Albright for the Zoning and Planning Committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. All the items were held.
Thank you. Councilor Rice for the Programs and Services Committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is no report.
Okay. Councilor Auchincloss for Public Safety and Transportation.
Point of order?
Yes.
Did we actually have the finance docket read?
Pardon?
I don't believe the finance items were actually read.
We haven't gotten to finance yet.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilor Auchincloss?
No items to report, Mr. President.
All right. Public Facilities, Councilor Crosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is no report.
Thank you. Now, Councilor Gentile for the Finance Committee, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The finance report begins on page 243. The first item was 493-18, a run of the mayor requesting authorization to enter into a 5-year contract for parking meter currency processing services. This was approved 7-0. Next item was held. Next item is 388-18. Councilors Cody, Leary, Norton, Broussard, Glazer, and Kalish requesting a change to the City of Newton ordinances to require a formal review of the compensation of elected management and non-union salaries every 5 years. This item was approved as amended. The amendment was to send a resolution requesting the formation of a Blue Ribbon Commission to review elected officials' compensation, and that was approved 7-0.
Point of order, Councilor Gentile. Is it a resolution to the Council President or a resolution to the Mayor?
The resolution is to the Council through the Council President.
All right. Could we put this item on second call, then, for a brief discussion?
Of course, we can. And I would then move the report.
All right. Thank you very much. And Councilor Cody for the Real Property Reuse Committee.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no report.
Okay. All right. So we have two items then on second call, the Garden Remedies matter, which was held over from last time, and the item regarding the Blue Ribbon Commission, which I've just asked to place in second call. Yes, Councilor Schwartz?
Given that there are a number of land use items on first call right now, if we don't have 16, the likelihood of 16 votes on first call, I'm curious what should be done.
I think we are missing, we're missing three individuals right now. So if there's anything that is controversial, I suggest we move it to second call now, so we don't have an issue on first call. So do you want to move the Elliott Street one to second call?
I think 288-18 should be on second call for that reason.
Why don't we place 288-18 on second call as well? I don't. Is there any other land use item that you're concerned about, Councilor Schwartz? Okay. All right. So we have three items then on second call. I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Councilor Albright.
Aye.
Councilor Auchincloss.
I vote aye for all except for 424-18 on page 242, from which I am recused.
Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Broussard Glazer.
Aye.
Councilor Ciccone. Councilor Cody.
Aye.
Councilor Crossley.
Aye.
Councilor Danberg. Councilor Downs. Councilor Gentile.
Aye.
Councilor Greenberg.
Aye.
Councilor Grossman.
Aye.
Councilor Kalis.
Aye.
Councilor Kelly.
Aye.
Councilor Krinsman.
Aye.
Councilor Lappin.
Aye.
Councilor Leary.
Aye.
Councilor Lipoff. Councilor Markowitz.
Aye.
Councilor Noel.
Aye.
Councilor Norton.
Aye.
Councilor Rice.
Aye.
Councilor Schwartz.
Aye.
President Laredo.
Aye.
Councilor Danberg.
Aye.
The vote is 22 yeas with 2 absent.
Except for the one item where there's...
For 434-18, where there's 1 recused.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. I'm going to entertain a motion to forego recess this evening. Can I have a motion by Councilor Cody? All in favor of foregoing recess, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Councilor Schwartz, why don't we take up the two land use items first, and then we'll do the Blue Ribbon Committee or Commission item after that.
You're making me hungry with that Blue Ribbon.
I think that's in Ward 3, Councilor Schwartz.
That's good stuff. Okay. All right, so the first item, 289-18, has been kind of kicking around for a while. I made a longer presentation before, but I do think that to refresh people's memories, I should go through the various issues around it and the conditions that we crafted at the Land Use Committee to try to address them. So this is the Garden Remedies extension of, change to recreational marijuana dispensary. You'll recall that Garden Remedies is currently operating medical marijuana dispensary at their site on Washington Street. Essentially, we heard testimony a number of nights, first on June 5th, I believe it was, and then on June 26th, when the hearing was closed, and then again on August 7th, and then it came here. And essentially, we heard a lot from the public concerns about traffic, about volume of customers, and about parking. So the conditions going through the board order, just highlighting some of the things that were done to address these concerns. First, there's a appointment-only basis that was agreed to by the petitioner and kind of crafted by the committee, requiring appointment only, but allowing if there's an open appointment and somebody comes, if there's an available appointment immediately that they can take that appointment. This tries to address the flow issue of people not coming and waiting outside and creating a backup of traffic or parking lot issues, loitering and things like that. At the same time, not creating too much of a burden on the operator. That was because it's moving to a recreational use, which is potentially more intense. The thinking was that this was needed to be extended. There was the agreement to have addition to that, a police detail for the first 90 days of operation, with a look back to see if that's continued to be needed. The petitioner is ready to continue that indefinitely if needed. There's also a security professional to be required on site to make sure that no issues arose from a public safety point of view on the property. The traffic issue was to have a look back at intervals of 30, 60, 90 days, and thereafter at intervals of 6, 12, 18, and 24 months with the Planning Department, Transportation Division of the Public Works Department, and the Newton Police Department to sit down and review how things were going in that regard. The hours of operation limited from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. As far as parking, an employee plan for making sure that employees parked off-site, a robust transportation demand management plan, which includes wayfinding for pedestrians, a website, secure bicycle storage area, an on-site carpool for the employees, reimbursing employees for costs of public transit, and subsidizing the cost of travel to and from satellite parking. That too, there was a condition that the petitioner keep records on how that is working and how employees are getting there, and to be reviewed with the Director of Transportation and the Director of Planning, so that if it's not working, they can intensify it. The petitioner also is committed to creating a parking facility next on the adjoining site to contain 11 stalls with the ability to expand it to 16 stalls if needed. This was trying to create a balance between the desire for there being enough capacity for cars so that there isn't a backup on the local streets and parking areas, but not to overburden the site with too much asphalt. That'll be reviewed in six months after the start. I mentioned the police detail, the security professional. Just a couple more things. That prior to the issuance of a building permit, the petitioner is going to provide $25,000 to the city for the cost of cost and installation of a bus shelter on the Washington Street frontage. And then the last item in the conditions was the you might recall the addition of a condition that in the event that a ballot question prohibiting all recreational marijuana retail establishments from operating in the city of Newton essentially opt out is passed by the voters at this coming November 6, 2018 special municipal election, that and a general ordinance is passed by the city council that does prohibit all recreational marijuana retail establishments, that the provisions authorizing the recreational marijuana use in this board order would not go into effect.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Schwartz. Councillor Baker.
Through you, Mr. President, to the chair. We've had some communication about some concerns about this, and I'm just trying to be clear about the impact of the section condition 21. It indicates that if the ballot question passes and then is a subsequent ordinance, which both of which are required, the recreational use will not be available, but other provisions will and be deleted and other things will come online. What I'm just trying to parse my way through, because we've got the new revised board order on our desk tonight, it's something I didn't have a chance to understand clearly beforehand, is are there any conditions that are being added to the medical operation that will stay if the ballot question passes, so that we have a clear a sense of what is being modified that is durable, or is basically everything revert to the conditions of the prior medical board order if the ballot question and the subsequent ordinance pass?
Councilor Schwartz, do you want to respond?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think if you look at the text of condition 21, it specifically specifies which conditions would not go into effect, which include 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 19, and 20. If you look back, condition number 3 is the one that has the appointment-only requirement, so that would not be affected. 4 is the one that involves the look-back regarding the look-back at 30, 60, the intensive look-back. So that would not be, number 5 would not be affected, so the hours of operation would be the same. Number 6, though, the hours for the recreational would not be expanded. That would not include the 12 to 6 on Sunday. As you'll see in item 5, condition 5, the hours of operation would be from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Monday through Thursday and 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, as opposed to in condition 6, where it would allow 12 to 6 on Sunday as well. You'll see that item conditions 7, 8, 9 would also not be, so the TDM, as far as the robust kind of bike share and secure bicycle storage and the carpool, and keeping the records, because the employees are really expanding if they go into a recreational mode, and currently the employees is a much smaller number. The parking facility also, they would not be expanding the parking facility from their current parking to 11 stalls. So that's in item 8. And then some of the, let's see, so 19 and 20 are the $25,000 would not come to the city. And the stormwater management, because they're not doing site work if they don't do the recreational expansion. So I hope that answers the question. But I'll leave it to individuals to look at exactly what the differences are.
Councilor Baker.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. President. I guess the only other question then, and that was helpful to try and understand sort of what stays and what goes. You indicated that the change in the condition about appointments, and we've had some letters of concern about that. I wondered if you would mind just sort of clarifying where the committee came out, because there have been concerns about whether that, in fact, is
really substitute for true appointments or whether it's an operational necessity to avoid the kind of disruption on the site that people seem to want to avoid. If you could just explain that, I think it would be helpful
to
the public.
Go ahead, please, Councilor Schwartz.
I'll do my best. We received testimony initially that things were working quite well. The police told us that there had been very few, if any, kind of complaints about folks, you know, loitering on the site or hanging out outside waiting. At one point during the hearings, though, we heard from the petitioner, it became clearer that appointment only was a little bit less restrictive than one might think appointment only would mean. So people were allowed to come for an appointment not having one and ask if there's an appointment available right away. And that had been working actually pretty well from what we understood, what we were told. But when that came out in the hearing, we expressed a little bit of, the committee expressed some dissatisfaction with that because that was not exactly what had been expected by us. The petitioner started to enforce that much more rigidly. And it was after that that there were complaints that came forward. People, for example, in the rain, somebody in a wheelchair, a veteran in a wheelchair who did not make it in time to the appointment. And even though there were times that were available after that appointment, because he or she had missed the previously scheduled appointment, could not adjust, or at least the petitioner felt that they were not at liberty to adjust to a, on-demand appointment. And this created some, that's just one example, but there was more backups and more complaints. So when we, as a committee, discussed it and worked through it, we felt that it was appropriate to still have an appointment requirement because, you know, both for medical, but especially for recreational, because we just don't know. There's a lot of concern that was raised by the public. How many people are going to be coming? We might be one of the few ones in the area. There are a lot of cities and towns around us that have, you know, opted out. So we just don't know what the future holds. Could it be a huge crush of people coming without appointments who want to get in? So we didn't want that eventuality to occur. At the same time, we didn't want it to be as restrictive as being so rigid had already demonstrated it could be. So what we put into the conditions as you read them is that if there's an available appointment, someone can come and make that appointment at the time of showing up, but that there'll be on the website a kind of a time, like an expectation showing what kind of wait there is, what their flow is looking like, and people would be turned away if there were no appointments so that they would not be loitering there and backing up traffic and creating a trouble on the site. And we also felt that given the amount of personnel that was being committed to this, agreed to, and the conditions, security personnel on the site, police detail as well, that the petitioner would have enough flexibility and capacity to enforce that kind of appointment. But this is somewhat uncharted. You know, some have said, why are we doing this at all? Appointments, you know, we don't require this of other types of businesses. But it's such an unknown that we did hear a lot of testimony from the public that we were trying to address with this condition. I hope that that's helpful.
All set? Anything else? Anyone else wish to speak on this item? I'll remind councilors, if you're planning on voting against the item, you do need to state your reasons on the record. Councilor Auchincloss?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be voting against this item. I think back to my colleague from Ward 5, Councilor Downs, who said that she liked her experiments that government embarks to be small and reversible. And I think that right now the city is embarking on a very ill-advised experiment with the retail sale of industrialized THC, and I think this is exactly the wrong dispensary to make our initial pilot and our initial experiment with. This is located really with its primary means of egress to a residential neighborhood. And they're going to be the ones who bear the brunt of this experiment and of how it goes poorly. And we are granting this license, which is going to make this a hub of retail marijuana for the entire Metro West, to a proprietor that has a history of flouting inconvenient rules and to a site that has a history of on-premises consumption of marijuana. So this experiment is not going to be small, it's not going to be reversible, and the residents of Court Street are going to be the ones who suffer for it. This is going to adversely affect that neighborhood, and I encourage my colleagues to please vote against it.
Thank you, Councilor Auchincloss. Anyone else wish to be heard on the item? Councilor Cody.
Thank you, Mr. President. So this is somewhat directed to Councilor Baker, if I can route it through.
If you're going to question to Councilor Baker, you can speak directly. If you have a question for the chair, speak to the chair through the president.
Councilor Baker, please.
Go ahead, please.
So we've gone back and forth on this issue for a while. What assurances do we have, given that the City Council can make a lot of changes, even once voters have spoken, that this doesn't open as retail if the voters decide they shouldn't have retail? Does this do that in your changes?
I'm not quite clear.
I don't want to be engaged in a back and forth between colleagues. If you want to respond generally, Councilor Baker, please do so.
My understanding is that the condition number 21 basically says that if the voters vote in favor of the ban and the ban is the passes, but also the other one does not get as many votes, in other words, the ban is the preferred outcome, and the City Council passes a subsequent ordinance, there has to be two pieces of this puzzle in place, that then would negate the use of this site for recreational marijuana sales. That's what condition 21, and if I'm subject to correction by the chair of land use, if my understanding is incorrect. That was the language. It's been modified somewhat as over the last few weeks in conversation, as I understand it, with the law department and the petitioner. But the effect of this, as I read it, again, subject to correction by the chair of land use, is that if in fact that ballot question passes and an ordinance passes that implements the ballot question, then the recreational use will no longer be available and will stay only in a medical marijuana facility.
Councilor Schwartz, do you want to amplify on that as chair of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, we've been assured by our city solicitor who worked on this drafting along with the petitioner's attorney that there's a clear understanding that that is the meaning and the import of this particular condition, number 21. And that I think the petitioner is even committed to following that that view. So I think that we've been assured that this is about as tight as you can make it, and that it's got every expectation of success in implementing that strategy.
Okay. Answer your question, Councilor Cody. Okay. Anybody else wish to be heard on this item? All right. Councilor Schwartz, I'm sorry.
Just wanted to make one last comment, which is I do want to remind my colleagues that this is a very special case. This medical marijuana facility was licensed before July 1st, 2017, and per the Mass General Law 90, whatever it is, section, the essential requirement is that cities and towns do not unduly prevent a conversion or an expansion to recreational use for those particular medical marijuana facilities that were licensed before July 1st, 2017. So unless there's some glaring inability to manage, there's some glaring way in which this is not being the conditions are not addressing and mitigating the potential negative impacts. I think that as a city, we really cannot be blocking this. But be that as it may, we have done everything in our power to anticipate and address the concerns that have been raised. It is abutting a residential neighborhood that's not in dispute, but it also is on a main corridor, Washington Street, and has been operating there without much complaint for the last 2 years.
Thank you, Councilor Schwartz. Councilor Cody, do you want to be heard again?
Thank you, Mr. President. So I had requested some information on the size of the average retail marijuana operation. It was my observation in Colorado a few months ago that they were significantly larger than this operation. I didn't receive the information, so my question is, what assurances do we have through the special permit process that if they want to enlarge and double or triple the size, I know they can't do it on that site, but does this special permit allow them to do that somewhere else, or does it require zoning and the whole process again?
I don't think they could do anything further on this site without coming back and getting a new special permit, and certainly going to another site, at least my view of that would be a completely different special permit and not within the purview of expanding a current medical marijuana operation. That'd be my judgment, Councilor Cody. I'm sorry, Councilor Schwartz, did you want to add to that? I apologize for jumping ahead of you there. And then I'll recognize Councilor Albright.
No, I rise simply to agree with the President, but that's my understanding as well. No other special permit that we ever pass allows that kind of expansion without coming back. And I believe that I was trying to find the exact condition, but there's no allowance for it to change from this without coming back to us.
No. Thank you, Councilor Schwartz. Councilor Albright?
I just wanted you to know, Councilor Cody, that the zoning ordinance for marijuana that just came before the zoning committee last week, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, requires that it be no larger than 5,000 square feet. So they are small mom-and-pop sized and not the large ones like in other states.
Thank you, Councilor Albright. Anybody else? Yes, Councilor Baker, do you want to be heard?
Just on the point that I'm very sensitive to the point that my colleague from Ward 2 raised about the potential impact on this particular neighborhood, because this particular facility is going to be expanded. It may be one of the few, depending on what happens with the ballot questions. I think the problem I'm wrestling with is that the only alternative I see is to postpone this until after the election and see what happens. But then we've got, I'm not sure we have the time under the framework that we've, because of land use petitions are granted by operation of law within a specific period unless extended. So I'm in this quandary of situation where the cleanest situation would be to wait on all of these until the election is passed. But default of that, I think that the best we have is, in a sense, in the what legal jargon is sometimes referred to as a condition subsequent, meaning that if an event happens in the future, some things get unwound, which is what that condition has been added. So I'm very sensitive to the concerns, but I see no way that I can vote against this, given what I've heard from the Chair of Land Use. If there are provisions that should be in here or provisions that should be modified, I'd certainly be glad to hear about them, but I think, as I understand it, we don't have the capacity to turn down one of these facilities at the moment without a general ordinance with the support of the voters. So that is where I am at the moment. So,
anyone else on this item? Councilor Gentile.
So I will be voting against the special permit. I have spoken on this item on other occasions. I'm not going to repeat things that I have said before. I just want to raise one issue in response to the point that the Chair of Land Use made about the, I guess, the unique status of this medical marijuana facility as it relates to the expansion. And I understand that what the state law has said, but I think that that is subject to a lot of interpretation. These things always are. So I guess I would suggest to my colleague from Ward 7 that he does have an opportunity to vote against it. For instance, the parking situation. The expansion from medical marijuana to recreational marijuana is going to be a significant intensification of the site. I know there was a lot of discussion about parking lot, and so now what we're ending up with is a smaller parking lot that probably won't necessarily take care of the increased number of people that will be visiting the site. And it troubles me to hear that the folks on Court Street taking it on the short end again, as they did with the Engler project down there, because the parking lot, as I understand, is going to be, the access is going to be from Court Street instead of this main thoroughfare. And I believe from reading the reports, the reason that that is happening is because of the problem with the grade and being able to have folks enter and leave from Washington Street. Well, you know what? That tells you maybe this isn't a great site for what you're trying to do. So, but instead of saying that, which I think everybody up here has the right to say and to vote against it, we just say, okay, we're just going to make it work and have people going up and down Court Street and in and out of Court Street. And I think that that alone is enough to merit denying this petition at this site. And I think it's a real shame for the folks on Court Street that that's been our answer to solve the recreational marijuana sales on Washington Street.
Thank you, Councilor Gentile. Anybody else wish to be heard on the item? All right, seeing none, I'm going to ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Councilor Albright.
Aye.
Councilor Auchincloss. Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Broussel Glazer.
Aye.
Councilor Ciccone. Councilor Cody.
Aye.
Councilor Crossley.
Aye.
Councilor Danberg.
Aye.
Councilor Downs.
Aye.
Councilor Gentile.
No.
Councilor Greenberg.
Aye.
Councilor Grossman.
Aye.
Councilor Kalis.
Aye.
Councilor Kelly.
Aye.
Councilor Krinsman.
Aye.
Councilor Lappin.
Recused.
Councilor Leary.
Aye.
Councilor Lipoff. Councilor Markowitz.
Aye.
Councilor Noel.
Aye.
Councilor Norton.
Aye.
Councilor Rice.
Aye.
Councilor Schwartz.
Aye.
President Laredo.
Aye.
The vote is 19 yeas, 2 nays, 2 absent, and 1 recused.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. Councilor Schwartz, we have one more land use related item on here, and before you report this out, I just want to remind folks, I know you all know it here, but members of the public, this is a medical marijuana facility only, and by approving it for medical marijuana, we specifically asked this at the land use hearing, it does not affect a later application to become a retail marijuana location if, in fact, we allow the sale of any retail establishments in the city, or if we choose to limit them to somewhere between 2 and 4, if we get that kind of ballot approval. So with that, Councillor Schwartz, go ahead, please.
Marijuana all the time here. Feels like that's the only thing we've been doing for the last 3 months.
And we do a few other things, colleagues, I'll remind you, that are of importance in the city as well. Go ahead, please, Councilor Schwartz.
Okay. So this is the petition 288-18. It's at 2426 Elliott Street, the former Green Tea Restaurant. Cypress Tree Management is proposing a medical marijuana facility. You'll see, so we opened a hearing on June 5th, and we had another public hearing on July 10th. It was closed on that date. We had a working session on August 7th, and then again last Tuesday, the 25th of September. And the board order is in front of you. Essentially, this also, we heard a lot of testimony about potential traffic, potential impacts on the surrounding residential and commercial properties. The board order with its conditions are designed to address those concerns. Medical marijuana is zoned in this area. As you might recall, the council and the city mayor signed off on medical marijuana zoning more than a year ago, and limiting to three different types of zones in the city, and this is one of them. So in this particular case, we heard testimony about the terrible traffic on Elliott Street and Route 9. We received some analyses from the petitioner about how that would work. We also added conditions that involve a police detail during rush hour from 3:45 to 7:45. You'll see condition number two on Monday through Friday for at least the first 180 days of the commencement of operations at this site. And at the end of that term, the Director of Planning and Development, in concert with the Transportation Division of the Public Works Department, as well as the Newton Police Department, would meet and determine whether the term of the detail shall be extended, or whether there need to be any other changes to address any traffic problems on Elliott Street. And the petitioner has said that they will be prepared to extend that as long as needed, the police detail, that is. Secondly, we did impose this appointment-only requirement also on this particular site, although at our meeting it was raised that because this is different from recreational, and again, it's potentially less intense use than recreational, that at the end of a year that there would be a look back where the Inspectional Services Department as well as the Planning Department could meet and determine whether the appointment-only basis was still needed. Now, we made sure that that would be brought back to the Land Use Committee for at least discussion, and as we would for a consistency ruling. Separately, the petitioner, because of parking on the site, because they're utilizing parking spots that are behind the building that are a little bit more difficult to navigate, they have committed to having a valet parking service that's available, and that will be available, I believe, full-time during the first, for the first 60 days. At the end of that term, again, Director of Planning and Development, in consultation with the Director of Transportation and the City of Newton Police Department, can determine whether valet parking should be continued or reduced to specific periods, and that will also be something that they are prepared to continue indefinitely if needed. There's also a similarly robust transportation demand management plan, transportation demand management plan that will be implemented and will be reviewed 2 months after the commencement of operations, and 6 and 12 months after the commencement of operations. Finally, pedestrian traffic and safety concerns will be reviewed again by the Commissioner of Inspectional Services, Director of Planning and Development, and we'll report to the Land Use Committee on how traffic safety concerns, pedestrian traffic and safety concerns are being addressed. So there are additional conditions that you'll see in here that are primarily driven by the state law about the limit of 1 ounce of marijuana per transaction, the kind of visibility for public safety to be carried out. But those are the essential conditions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Schwartz. Anybody have any questions or comments on this one? All right, seeing none, our clerk stepped away for just a moment, so we can't take a vote yet. But here he is. You can't be in two places at once, Mr. Olson. You do superlative work, but that's impossible. We are ready to take a roll call vote on this item, please.
Councillor Albright.
Aye.
Councillor Auchincloss.
Aye.
Councillor Baker.
Aye.
Councillor Broussel-Glaser.
Aye.
Councillor Ciccone. Councillor Cody.
Aye.
Councillor Crossley.
Aye.
Councillor Danberg.
Aye.
Councillor Downs.
Aye.
Councillor Gentile.
No.
Councillor Greenberg.
Aye.
Councillor Grossman.
Aye.
Councillor Kalis.
Aye.
Councillor Kelly.
Aye.
Councillor Krinsman.
Aye.
Councillor Lappin.
Recused.
Councillor Leary.
Aye.
Councillor Lipoff. Councillor Markowitz.
Aye.
Councillor Noel.
Aye.
Councillor Norton.
Aye.
Councillor Rice.
Aye.
Councillor Schwartz.
Aye.
President Laredo.
Aye.
The vote is 20 yeas, 1 nay, 2 absent, and 1 recused.
The item carries. All right. Thank you, Mr. Clerk. The last item, I'm going to recognize the chair of the Land Use Committee, Councillor Gentile. I'm the one who put it on second call, and I put it on second call, obviously, because I'm now being instructed by my colleagues to do something, and I think it'd be helpful if I had the benefit of at least a little bit of public discussion as to what the committee in particular is looking for, and then I'd welcome some brief comments from colleagues if they want to add to that, so I can get the guidance to this resolution. So, Councillor Gentile, I think this is your item from your committee.
So this item can be found on page 244. Again, it is Councillors Cody, Leary, Norton, Broussel, Glaser, and Kalis requesting a change to the City of Newton ordinances to require a formal review of the compensation of elected management and non-union salaries every 5 years. So as you'll notice from the docket item, the councillors were actually looking to either change or come up with a new ordinance that would require that this kind of a salary review happen automatically every 5 years. So the discussion in the committee started out about an ordinance, a possible ordinance change or new ordinance, which I believe we will continue to discuss, but in the meantime, it was clear that the majority of the committee would like to get this kind of a review started sooner rather than later. So the decision was made to pass a resolution to the president asking that he set up a blue ribbon commission in order to review the salaries of elected officials, but not to get into non-union positions for which in the past we've had a Hay study and a Hay report, but specifically to review the mayor's salary, city council, and school committee. I don't have the report in front of me, but I think that it last occurred 14 years ago, was it? Back in 2004. So it was clear to the members of the committee, that this is clearly the time to take another look at the issue of salaries of elected officials here in Newton. And so therefore the motion, as I said, was to ask the president to set up a blue ribbon commission. We did not get into the membership of the commission, how many people there should be, who should chair it. There was some talk about what happened the last time and how that worked. But it was just a general resolution to establish the commission, and that motion passed unanimously by a vote of 7-0.
Thank you, Councilor Gentile. So, colleagues, I'm very happy to act on that resolution if that's the will of the council. If anyone wants to take an opportunity to provide some guidance or feedback in this public setting now, that would be great. Otherwise, I will, if the resolution passes, follow the will of the council and try to establish such a commission. I'm going to recognize Councilor Baker first and then Councilor Cody.
Since I appointed the last commission back in the Jurassic age, I should just point out that it had public officials but also had some citizen representation, and I think that there's some benefit to that. You may recall there was a conversation earlier about some of these questions where we're holding off until the charter process was complete. I should just report to you that we're still working on what I would call the non-controversial, in the sense not dealing with the size of the council or term limits, because there's some technical questions we've had to try and solve, plus also just getting meeting times when we can all meet when we're not meeting for other things. I hope to complete that process by the end of the year, but I just wanted to indicate that I thought it was helpful to have a commission in the past, and I hope that the President might look at the prior precedent to see what things might be worth saving and what might be modified for the future.
I certainly will not want to let the work that you did previously, Councillor Baker, go to waste, and I'll certainly look very carefully at what you did last time as I'm trying to think this issue through. Thank you. Councillor Cody.
Just adjust for inflation, please.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Pardon? President.
I'm sorry.
He's out of order. No.
I missed that interchange. Go ahead, Councilor Cody.
Just very briefly, I don't have much to say on this. All the historical information is in the item, the docket item. We picked up the information from David Olson from the clerk's office and put in it. So the President had it correct. 2004 was the last commission. It was called for in November 2004 and came out in February 2005. And it also will tell you a little bit of the background in there that we have to kind of do it now, because if it's to be elected, it has to be completed. We have to vote on it prior to the election in 2019. So that information is all in there. If anybody has any questions, I picked up the information from David Olson, and also Matt Hills, I believe, was the chair of the Blue Ribbon, and he can fill anybody in that has questions on it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilor Cody. Anybody else wish to be heard on this item at this time? Councilor Noel.
So I think just one more point of clarity. Even though the commission was held in 2004, the last actual city council raise was 1997. And then I think the other thing that came up in our discussion, which I think is worth noting, is that the mayor, I forget the exact numbers, but there are now a substantial amount of city employees that make more money than the mayor, and we felt like that was something that needed to be addressed.
Okay, I'll note that. Thank you, Councilor Noel. Yes, Councilor Grossman.
Just one more quick point that I just wanted to add that came up in our discussion was the council does already have guidelines that we are supposed to be convening a commission every 5 to 10 years, and clearly we're past that point. I think part of the desire of the committee in the discussion was an effort to sort of depoliticize the review of compensation for the various folks that we're talking about, and part of our concern was having a range of 5 to 10 years makes it sort of discretionary about when it's taken up, and part of our goal was to have a little bit more clarity about with what frequency this should be readdressed and whatever number that makes sense so that it falls within the time frame that Councillor Cody identified that such action would need to be taken if it were to be passed in a particular term, but that was of interest to the group.
Thank you, Councilor Grossman. Anyone else? All right. Seeing none, I think we'll still need a roll call vote on this, so let's just go ahead, please. Call the roll.
Councilor Albright.
Aye.
Councilor Auchincloss. Councilor Baker.
Aye.
Councilor Purcell Glaser.
Aye.
Councilor Ciccone. Councilor Cody.
Aye.
Councilor Crossley.
Aye.
Councilor Danberg.
Aye.
Councilor Downs.
Aye.
Councilor Gentile.
Aye.
Councilor Greenberg.
Aye.
Councilor Grossman.
Aye.
Councilor Kalis.
Aye.
Councilor Kelly.
Aye.
Councilor Krinsman.
Aye.
Councilor Lappin.
Aye.
Councilor Leary.
Aye.
Councilor Lipoff. Councilor Markowitz. Councilor Noel.
Aye.
Councilor Norton.
Aye.
Councilor Rice.
Aye.
Councilor Schwartz.
Aye.
President Laredo.
Aye.
The vote is 22 yeas with 2 absent.
Okay. I believe that concludes our business this evening. Do I have a motion to adjourn, Councilor Markowitz? Motion to adjourn. We're adjourned at 8:47 p.m. Thank you all very much, and we have meetings the rest of this week. Thank you.